I got lost one night, and I'm sure the most of his congregation did too. I heard the Word of God preached one night. The Holy Spirit of God pricked my heart, and I knew there was something not good, Brother Moran, between me and God. May not have understood everything about it. They gave an invitation, and I went forward to pray. And later that evening, at 10:35 that evening, when I got myself out of the way, I was able to meet those conditions and repent and believe. I'll tell you what, I believe grace goes so far. If I want to say this, I believe it goes so far that God has to make a believer out of you. And I've heard Brother Curtis say that many times. What do you mean by that? I believe that repentance and faith are inseparable. And when we repent toward God and then meet that condition, He provides the faith necessary to believe. And I said this at Lafayette the other Sunday. I don't think there's any work that a lost person can do to merit salvation. It's totally by grace. We have to come to a realization that we're lost and then make a choice. And I don't mean a decision to be saved, but a decision whether we're going to seek after God or turn Him off. But we find that at the end of time, these events will take place. And if your name is not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Someone asked me a while back, I said, it doesn't get any better at the end of time for those that are in hell, because death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, we believe that the Bible and I want to turn that just a moment. We believe the Bible to teach that there's going to be a judgment one day. I believe that everybody that's ever lived will be brought forth from the grave and be judged for our works done in the body. Our destination when we leave this world is determined while we live on the face of the earth. Now, I've been in a couple of discussions, and they hadn't thought about this. And there is a teaching out in the world that we won't know for sure whether we make it to heaven until the judgment is concluded. And I said, well, apparently you believe that that the resurrection takes place before the judgment. Excuse me, vice versa. And my point was on that is that as a tree falls, so shall it lie. So ever how you die in this life, if you die without Christ, you'll be in that terrible place called hell. You'll be brought forth and be judged for the deeds done in the body. And then, if your name's not in that book, then the lake of fire is where you'll be. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody will be exempt from the judgment seat of Christ. But the scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man also came the newness of life. What got us in this situation? Adam, you've heard this many times before. When Adam, the man God created, transgressed God's law in Genesis chapter 2, someone asked me one day, you believe Adam fell from grace? No, he fell from the holy estate that God had placed him in. But we find that when Adam did what God said not to, he became a sinner. And all his posterity and everybody that followed him was born in a state of sin. I was born in a state of sin, and you were too. I was thinking this past few days, I was 64 a few days ago, my birthday, July 2nd. I used to think somebody 60 years old was two-thirds dead. Yeah, but I've changed my mind upon that, brothers and sisters. But I like to think about this. I was born, just a second, 1958, at the hospital in Lafayette. It was Smith Chitwood Hospital. The hospital and the funeral home, some other things developed in the mid-early 50s. I was born there to the parents of Joe and Barbara Swaffer. A man named Johnny Smith, who was a doctor at that facility, delivered me. I don't remember anything about that. But I'm going to tell you something. On August 13, 1973, at that little General Baptist church, when I met the conditions of the gospel, I remember that. I remember how it was that state of sin and that judgment of death all went away, and there was a peace that came in when I met the condition of the gospel. The Bible says goes beyond understanding, and certainly it does. But as I stated, and I want to turn to a scripture that relates to that, we're all going to be judged. Nobody is going to be exempt. How did people get in their mind that they can be or live good enough to get to heaven just goes beyond me? We can't do it. We sin. I heard a man say on the radio, and he doesn't believe like I do, he believed you could live 24 hours and not sin. I don't think I've ever done that. You ever got up in the morning and had a thought you know God wasn't pleased with? I've had something happen day before and wake up in the night thinking, I wish I'd have slapped him. Now, God's not pleased with that. I was raised around some people, and they would make the discussion in Sunday school, and I was always different about it. And said, I said, what if you were in a beer joint when the Lord come back? Would God be pleased with that? I said, what if you told a lie before the Lord comes back? What is my point? Sin is sin. God doesn't gauge that like we do many times. But there will be a judgment take place. But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, in John 7:25, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I believe in a general resurrection of the just and the unjust. It was explained to me a few years ago there was going to be about 6 resurrections, and I said, I haven't found that in the New Testament. No. The trumpet will sound, and they'll all come forth from these graves and from the sea and from wherever those bodies may have been. I don't understand how God will do all that. But they will come forth to the resurrection of life if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life while you live. The resurrection of damnation, all you got to do is do nothing, and you'll be in the resurrection of damnation. The Bible doesn't tell us much about those that are not saved and the bodies they'll have. I believe we'll have a body, according to Romans 8, just like Jesus had. When we come forth from that grave, we'll have a body just like Jesus, because the Bible tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to heaven one day, and I guess the most of you are. Why? Because my name was written in that book of life. I believe that God is keeping a book. There are 2 lines of thought on that. Some believe that we'll be judged by a record that God keeps of our lives. Some believe it will be by the 66 books of the Bible, and I'm not here to argue that today. But the most important book, and I've seen my name on documents and legal documents and voter registration, but the most important place to have your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Do you know today, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you've been born again? I've been told by people, friends, you know, you can't know. I said, yes, you can. Well, the only way not I know is, he said, by what the Bible says. Well, I've got a better witness than that, and I appreciate the Bible, and that's God's Holy Spirit, which the people I'm talking to don't understand that the Holy Ghost of God is a person. He's a person. He knows his sheep, and his sheep knows him. Boy, I'm glad we've got a witness while we live, and I don't have to depend upon what you say or what you say or what somebody else says. I'm glad we can know and have knowledge of where we're going when we leave this world. But those that die without the Lord and are part of this resurrection of damnation, again, I'm talking about one resurrection with 2 classes of people. In Matthew chapter 7, I thought of this different times. I've been listening to, a song, and I did that yesterday afternoon in my control room, my recording studio. Jerry and the Goffs, a group in the 80s, put out a song called Please Search the Book Again. And it tells a story, Brother Strode, about he thought he died and went to heaven, I guess a dream. And outside the eastern gate, he was asked by a man, "Have you been born again? Have you name in the book of life?" And he goes on down that course and says, please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, but I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again. It's too late now, I know. Please search the book again before you make me go. If you're here today and you don't know beyond the surety that your name is in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be part of this resurrection of damnation. If you die before the end of time, your soul, I believe, immediately will go to a place called hell. We can read about what's down there in Luke chapter 16. That's where that rich man has been for over 2,000 years. You will have your seven senses in that place. You will experience excruciating pain that I can't describe to you today. And you can't get out. The Bible teaches us that rich man, there was a gulf between him and Lazarus, didn't they? And that they couldn't travel hence from one place to the other. But we find that on that day at the judgment, and I've thought about this many times, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works?" I'm sure there will be other things that will be said in that day. "Lord, I tried to live a good life." And maybe they did. "Lord, I was a member," and don't take this the wrong way. They could say they're a member of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, but if they've never been born again, that won't get them into heaven, will it? No, it won't. And Fairview Memorial is a good church, don't get me wrong. Or Lafayette or any other church that you could name. "Lord, we worked the blood drive every time it come around. Lord, we did this, we did that. I helped my neighbor when he needed help. We gave them food and helped pay their bills. And these things are fine, but works will not get you to heaven." I do believe that when we get born again, as my grandfather Smith used to say, when you get saved, it changes your want tos. It changes your desires. Does that mean you live? If any of y'all tell me you live perfect day, you're a liar. I don't care who you are. We can't live above sin, but we can live above the reproach of the world, can't we? We sure can. They'll stand before him and tell what they've done. The song that I listened to said, "The trophies that I have won," and all manner of these things. But if your name is not written in that book of life, here's what he'll say. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It didn't say he knew them at one... excuse me. It didn't say he knew them at one time. It says he never knew them. How many people in the world today, and I come in contact and you do with people, that don't know that they've been born again? And something else, while you live, let somebody know that you've been born again. Let the church, let your family, let people know. We go to the funeral home sometimes, and the preacher, the family doesn't know, the preacher doesn't know. He winds up many times, and I understand, putting them in the hands of a just God. It's an honor and a privilege to tell people you're born again, isn't it? I'm glad I know because of the witness that the Holy Ghost has given me. Mankind, as I've already stated, born in this world of a depraved nature. It's a wicked nature. And that nature is what has to be changed in what we refer to as regeneration. Regeneration. And I got involved in a discussion, me and the pastor of Mount Vernon years ago, with a gentleman. I told my wife, I said, it'll be a long evening. Well, it wasn't. He got angry and left at a discussion about this. But the statement was made that a person had to be regenerated before they could repent and believe. I said, that's not what the Bible teaches. He said mankind was so depraved, and I agree mankind's depraved, but he's so depraved he must be regenerated before he could repent and believe. That teaching is heresy. That's what regeneration is. It's repenting toward God and having faith in Lord Jesus Christ. I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed Article 9, I think it is. And I've got some recordings that are excellent where Brother Moran has taught about that at the school. And you can say around people, and I've preached it up here, that I do believe in predestination. I do believe in God's foreknowledge. But as brother, and I learned some things from Brother Don Curtis, God has predestinated what he's going to do, but he has not predestinated what you're going to do. Man tried to tell me one time that the plan of redemption was not predetermined. I said, it sure was. Acts 2:23, it teaches there on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaching, he said, him talking about Jesus coming, being delivered to the Jews, how? By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It has been predetermined that we'll have a body one day just like Jesus has, don't we? Yes, been predetermined. If the human family misses out on getting their name in the book of life, it is your fault. He has not predetermined a certain group to be saved and a certain group to be lost. I do believe that he knows. But it's his will that all should come to repentance. All, everybody, no matter where they live, the color of their skin, or their status in life. I thought of this scripture in Jude 24. And it relates to the security of the believer to a degree. But it tells us how big and how good God is. The 24th chapter of the book of Jude. I told somebody one day about a question. Turn the second chapter of the book of Jude. Well, there ain't but one chapter. And they hunted for it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Boy, ain't that good. He's able to keep us from falling. And it goes on down through there and says that he'll present us faultless before the throne of his glory. Faultless. I'm going to stand before God one day, and you are too if you're born again and your name is in the book of life. I'll stand before God a perfect person. I'm not now, and you're not either. Why? I've got a perfect soul, but it's housed in this body that's sinful. It's because of sin these bodies will go back to the dust of the earth from which they were taken. God told Adam, from dust thou wast taken, unto dust shalt thou return, because of sin. But when this resurrection takes place, because again my name is written in that book of life, I'll come forth with a body just like Jesus. It won't be a body of flesh and blood. It won't deteriorate. Somebody tried to tell me one time, we'll be just like Jesus. We'll be 33 years old. I said, the Bible doesn't teach that. We don't know. People put things on Facebook about things in heaven, and all I know is what the Bible says. Someone said, I'll meet my dad, he'll be on a walker in heaven. No, he won't be, because aged people and infirmities, there won't be there. Won't be there. Infancy is an infirmity, isn't it? Now, I don't understand how God's going to do all that, but I'm telling you, it's going to be perfect. Because my name has been written in the book of life. No other important book can there be on the face of this earth or anywhere else than the book. If you fail to meet the conditions of the gospel, and I'll say this again, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've got to come to a realization of your condition and that you're lost and separated from God. People cannot make the determination on their own without the Holy Spirit of God to get saved. They can't do it. Now, I believe in the Word, don't get me wrong, but the Word, and you can read in the New Testament, were on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter there, they were pricked in their hearts because of Peter's preaching, but the Holy Ghost has to actuate that. Men and brethren, what shall we do? He gave them two separate commandments, repent, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved, but I believe you're going to have to be, you need to be, and it's a different subject, you need to be baptized in order to please God. If you do not, and there may be somebody like that today, you've been saved but not been baptized, you are a disobedient child of God. It'll cost you somewhere. Those of you that's been called to preach, if you tell God you just ain't going to do it, now it's going to cost you. You just write it down. I've been through that. It's costly. It's costly. Death and hell. I've imagined, and this is my mind, Barren River Lake or the Cumberland River or an ocean, just in my own mind, just liquid fire, flames, and people floundering. Maybe I've watched too much television. Floundering around in it. The second death, the first death, if you've been born again, you'll only die one time of a physical nature. One time. If you're not born again while you live, you'll die twice. You'll die a physical death, and you'll die a second death that will never end. It's an eternal death of pain beyond. I wonder if people got in their mind this is not a reality. It is according to God's word, isn't it? These things are going to happen. The time to prepare is while you live. We went to the hospital to a guy I worked with in 1994. My wife and I had been on a day trip at my dad's business, and we found out, we got back, that he'd had some type of stroke and fell off the floor. We went to the hospital in Tompkinsville. He stayed in a coma for 2 or 3 days, passed away, and I thought to myself, if he stays in that coma, the opportunities are over, isn't it? Opportunities are over. While you breathe and have your right mind is the time to prepare and seek God. Don't put it off. You may put off paying your federal income tax. That's a different problem. You may put off this. You may put off that. But make sure while you live that your name is written in the book of life. I don't think people see the reality no more. I don't think people just see the reality, and especially younger people. Some things, would you like me years ago? You thought you were going to live forever? Well, we're not. No. My eyesight slipped. My hair is turning gray. My teeth haven't fell out. My hearing's not too good. It's all the process of time of the human body. While you have the time and the opportunity, won't you seek God and find Him precious to your soul? It's the most terrible feeling. I'm glad I wasn't lost too long. It was just a terrible feeling. And people go sometime for a long time and they can't eat, they can't sleep because of the way they feel, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. If God deals with your heart, then is the time to repent and believe. And God is there to help you. He's waiting 24/7 to save the people that meet the condition of the gospel. Brother Stroke, we have a song of invitation, please. Let's have a song of invitation. If there's somebody here and you don't know that your name is written in the book of life, I would encourage you to come to this altar and to pour out your heart to God and find Him precious to your soul. This bench won't save you. That bench in the back where they're sitting. Jesus is our altar, isn't He? Sure is. If the congregation please stand. Leave today knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
190. 190.